It's Wednesday, September 11th, 2019, and this is What's the Point? This week on the show, the transformation of the 177-acre brownfield site into something called Lakeview Village. Just how will things play out along the Lake Ontario, Mississauga shoreline? And who's in charge anyway? The developers, the politicians, or the people? To talk about it, this week's hosts, Sam Graywall and Rick Drennan. Now here's Rick Drennan.
Okay, Sam, we're talking about the Lakeview project down in Mississauga, southeast Mississauga, reclaiming the land and putting the Lakeview Village project in there. This relates to both Mississauga and Brampton, because it's a question about what kind of development those cities want and how they can get there. Do we go the route of building something to human scale, or do we give this project, like the Lakeview Village, over to the developers? And I know that it's a passionate question that we both have a lot to say about.
Yeah, it really opens the door, both in conversation and in terms of what's going to happen on the development front, on the planning front, in terms of some of the most sensitive, some of the most protected lands in the GTA and across Ontario, some of the lands that we hold dearest to us as Ontarians. Many people, you and me, Rick included, believe that we've got a lot walk very softly on the land. I'm a little bit of a hypocrite because, you know, I own a house in the GTA, but the reality is that what we've seen in terms of land use over the past 30, 40 years across the GTA has become a major, major problem, not just in terms of environmental impacts, but just in terms of, in general, the way the GTA has developed and become in many ways unlivable for people. You know, sprawl has pushed developments out 30, 40, 50 kilometers away from where people work. There's commute times that are even longer than that. We see cars on the road for longer periods of time. It does not bring housing prices down. That's been proven. Certainly, we need to have enough stock to house people in the GTA, but I think we need to be smart about it. And I think the Lakeview situation, because we're talking about such pristine land prior to the construction of the Lakeview Power Plant, this is some of the most glorious Great Lakes waterfront that we had in Ontario. And obviously the power plant changed everything. And I guess the question for you, Rick, because I think having lived down there and having been raised right down there in the shadow of the Four Sisters, as you like to say, you know better than anyone what happened, and you know better than anyone how important it is going to be to make sure we don't make the same mistakes again.
Yeah, well, try to think of it. I mean, you're right. I lived down there, and I was virtually cut off from the lake and the view of the lake because of this big hydroelectric plant, which I visited as a kid in public school. I remember going in there, and it was this powerful, beautiful, state-of-the-art building, you know, and I didn't know what the ramifications of this building. It was pouring coal ash into the air. It was creating all these pollutants in the lake. It was destroying the fish, destroying the water. We've entered that post-industrial age now. We look back at it and we say, why did we do that? Why did we allow buildings like that to be built right on the lake? And of course, if you look down on the lakeshore in Mississauga, there's necklaces full of buildings and factories that were built along there. And now we're trying to clean up this mess that we created such a long time ago. And so it's true about both Mississauga and Brampton. We were just talking before this broadcast started about the creek system in Brampton, which virtually saved a lot of the land up here and kept the pollutants away from it, kept those industries that were going to pollute the city of Brampton.
And I think it's important to understand that, you know, this isn't just a Canadian problem, a Peel region problem, a GTA problem, an Ontario problem. The reality was that for a great period of industrial upheaval and revolution around the world, that any waterways that were going to feed the industrial beast, any large lakes, riverfronts, you look all around the world, Europe, the United States, Great Lakes, major, major river systems, all the industry that got built up around and in and on those waterways because of transportation needs in the pre-war era, the war era, and the post-war era, that was just the way things were done. People weren't thinking about the environment. People weren't thinking about protecting those waterways, those water systems, those watersheds. And just like other places around the world, what we saw on Peel's waterfront, primarily what we now know as Mississauga. All across that stretch, you know, from Hamilton, you know, right over to Oshawa, we saw the mass industrialization of Lake Ontario.
So what you have now, though, is you have this great divide, which really divides our world up. On one side, you have the people. The people are looking at this project and saying, okay, let's build this Lakeview project to human scale. While the developers say, we got to make some money out of this. And if we can push that envelope just far enough, if we can bring up intensification levels and make more money, this is an opportunity for them. Whereas the people are looking at it, this is an opportunity to win back our lake. This was an opportunity for somebody like me to visit the lake. My childhood, I couldn't go across the road. I couldn't get through the fencing, the no trespassing signs up there, the stop signs. So we're trying to win back something, and the developers see it as an opportunity for them to make mega dollars.
So back in 1958, from 58 to 62, what we know is the Four Sisters, the Lakeview power plant. The Four Sisters was the nickname of the four smokestacks that rose hundreds and hundreds of feet above the shoreline. The power plant is built, the Lakeview power plant, by the province to feed this growing region's electricity needs. At one point, the plant, Lakeview, is providing 17% of all of the electricity in Ontario. It's this massive coal-fired power plant. It uses bitumen, this ugly, ugly, you know, coal product, yeah. And it sends fly ash, as Rick mentioned, out into the sky from these giant, monstrous smokestacks. And then, to his credit, the Dalton McGuinty Liberals come along in 2003, decades later, after all of the pollution. Like, I don't even know how many thousands, tens of thousands of tons of pollution and carbon. And one of the shocking things for me was I did a big story for the Toronto Star during my career at the Star about, you know, when residents in an area of, I believe, it was over by Lorne Park, but they found out that a local park had been one of the sites where some of the fly ash for decades had been buried. And a bunch of teenagers were messing around when a works crew had left a backhoe in the park. And somehow the teenagers one weekend, you know, got into one of these backhoes as they're messing around, and they were able to start it. And what happened was they knocked over a tree. And when it was uprooted, lo and behold, locals saw all this fly ash underneath, and they were alarmed. And they eventually found out, oh my God, our kids have been playing for all these years in a park that literally has fly ash right below the surface. So it caused quite the controversy, and that the city took steps to remediate it. And I don't know exactly what's going on with
that
park.
Can I just cut in there? I just got to cut in.
Sure.
I visited the Mississauga City Hall one time, and one of the planners, and I went into his office, and there was this big map up on the wall, and it had all the spots where the fly ash had been dropped in Mississauga, which was stunning, and was almost all the parks had fly ash under them. Then, talking to a professor a little bit later on about this, he was telling me fly ash is worse than nuclear waste. It's more dangerous to citizens than nuclear waste. So you can imagine what kind of a problem that this Lakeview plant gave to the citizens of Mississauga.
But they didn't know about it at the time. Not only like where it was being buried in landfill, right in public places, but also all of the emissions out into the sky, especially like for someone like you, Rick, who live literally underneath those smokestacks. Like, weren't you telling me stories about the cars being covered in soot?
Well, my mother used to put the clothes out in the clothesline. That's back in the old days when they used to do that. And she'd bring them in, and they're all covered in soot. So, you know, that's how bad it was. So that soot was going into the lungs of the children.
Yeah.
So there were no public health concerns back then.
No. But then fast forward. So Dalton McGuinty comes in 2003 as the Liberal leader, the premier, I should say. And he, as one of his main policies, says we're going to shut down the coal plants. And sure enough, by 2006, we see the first implosion of the Four Sisters, the smokestacks. And a year later, in 2007, the rest of the building is imploded. The whole thing comes down. And now, Rick, maybe you can take us from then to where we are now, the original community-driven plan for what they were going to do with those Lakeview lands. But unfortunately, very recently, in the last year and a half, since a major public figure who was at the heart of the whole issue. Since he tragically passed away, what has happened? If you could bring us up to date.
Well, the Lakeview Ratepayers Association got together with their leader, Jim Tovey, and they really pushed a plan called Inspiration Lakeview. And that plan was a new village to be built down there, which was built to human scale, you know. And the plan was in place to also have the conservation authorities save the lake and start some natural wetlands, which the land used to be before that. So that project was actually put into the city of Mississauga's strategic plan. But what has happened now, the Ontario Power Generation sold the land to some private developers for $275 million. And of course, they have come up with a different plan than the Lakeview ratepayers envisioned. And so today we have to ask ourselves the question, what kind of plan is going to be built down there?
There's a road I'd like to tell you about, lives in my hometown. Lakeshore Drive, the road is called, and it'll take you up or down. From rats on up to riches, 15 minutes you can fly. Pretty blue lights along the way help you ride on by. And the blue lights shining with a heavenly grace help you ride on by. South on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town. Just slipping on by on LSD, Friday night trouble bound.
Yeah, and something that is quite alarming for me is that the development consortium that eventually gets the contract for the Lakeview lands, with a plan now that's called Lakeview Village, is called the Argo Development Corporation.
Well, and part of the Lakeview Partners Group. Right.
Right. So it's a large, large consortium, the Lakeview Partners, but part of that consortium is another consortium.
Right.
And it's a consortium of some of the most powerful and aggressive developers in Canada. We're talking Fernbrick Homes, which is the Cortellucci family, Mattamy Homes, Peter Gilgan, the DeGasperis family. These are major, major players in the development scene. And at least in the case of the DeGasperises and the Cortellucci's, very close ties to the provincial conservatives, the PCs, and Doug Ford. So it's no coincidence to me that even though some of this might have happened prior to the PCs winning last year's election, now that they've been in power for over a year, I wonder how can Mississauga and the people of Lakeview, the residents, and other interests stand up against one of the largest development consortiums that I've ever come across, this Argo Group. These are powerful people who know exactly how they use their money to lobby, get what they want. They can even place incredible influence over municipal officials. They can influence municipal staff. They obviously have their relationship with the provincial government. And again, it didn't come as much of a surprise to me even this morning when I was listening to the CBC and reading a piece on the CBC website about a situation in Vaughan, where it turns out that a development family, the Milani family, they're associated with a company called Rismi Holdings, but the Milani family is a well-known development family up in Vaughan. And the CBC has done an investigation showing that about 60 hectares of property that this family of developers owns in the northeast corner of Vaughan, which is actually protected land in the Oak Ridges Moraine, this family has been lobbying, these developers have been lobbying the Ford government to get protections, legislative protections in the Green Belt lifted so they can develop on this land. And it turns out, according to the CBC investigation, that the Doug Ford government has been all too willing to listen to the developers and, it appears, have the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Municipal Affairs Minister Steve Clark direct ministry officials to facilitate discussions between the city of Vaughan and Rismi Holdings, which is the same company that the Milani family, the developer, is involved with. So we know that this is the environment that exists right now with this current provincial government. Doug Ford made it clear during last year's campaign in a secret hidden video that was leaked. He told a room full of developers that he was going to do everything in his power to allow them to build in the Green Belt. He said he was going to open it up for them. Only after the video was released, it was leaked, did he walk that back. But then, after election, what do we see? Bill 66, Bill 108. Again, pieces of legislation put forward, passed by the majority PC government. No resistance. They have a majority. Nothing we can do about it. What do these pieces of legislation intend to do? Remove environmental and ecological protections, that type of legislation, in favor of legislation that would be amended to allow builders to do exactly what they want. You know, they've mm-hmm. bought up a lot of this land. They have speculated on it. They don't care if it's in protected areas like the Green Belt or the waterfront or wherever it might be. They want to maximize their profit out of it. They want to build and they want to suck out as much money as they can. And that's their motive. I mean, that's what they're always going to do. And that's what I'm worried now. The Mississauga waterfront, Brampton, if Brampton gets its Etobicoke Creek issues and floodplain issues dealt with, and if we can get some of those restrictions released, do we want it in an environment where it's going to be the Wild West and developers are going to come in and turn Brampton into some modern mess? Or do we want the Etobicoke Creek and the downtown floodplain issues and the Mississauga waterfront issues addressed and dealt with in a smart growth, modern, progressive way of looking at land use?
Let's peel back to the McGuinty government. In 2005, 2006, brought in Places to Grow legislation, which basically was trying to get away from the urban-suburban sprawl that Brampton and Mississauga have been tied in with for so many years. So what they said basically was, we want communities to grow up, not out. So what you've got in Lakeview now, for example, is that the developers can use the argument, well, we've got to intensify this thing. We've got to grow this community vertical because this is the past government, the McGuinty government. This is what they want. This is the idea about bringing transit to the downtown, justifying transit, all this
creating
kind of
density.
Stuff. Creating density. And so they can use that argument now to justify their project down in Lakeview.
But we have to be smart about this, Rick. Yeah. You know, and for the elected officials, for the expert planners, those that are involved in land use, our elected municipal councillors, the mayors, people working in the ministry, council members, they need to be smart about it. Building density doesn't mean we have to build it in the wrong places.
Right.
Do you think the Mississauga waterfront, this jewel on our lakefront, is that the place to build 50 and 60, 40 story condo towers to wall off the lake, to bring about more environmental degradation, to impact the ecosystem negatively? Is that smart density? Well, I don't think so. But as I believe, there are plenty of places that density can go, have a little bit of human scale density on the waterfront. But for example, here in Ontario, where the LRT is going to go, and Mississauga councillor and regional councillor Carolyn Parrish, she has stated that there's a great corridor, an obvious place to build density, verticality. You know, you're going to have an LRT right up there, attract affordable housing, get some, you know, white collar commercial space, offices in there, residential use, mixed use, build it pretty high and tall if you want, but not along places like the waterfront. Let's think about this.
Well, Jim Tovey, I mean, the founder of this Lakeview project who drove it, he visited Copenhagen. They went around, they looked at all the different cities and how they do things. And there was a thickness about the development in Copenhagen. You know, it was restricted to six stories, but there was a thickness there that gave it, you know, that capacity. So that's what you need down there. And the project itself, when it was originally conceived, was a step up project, much like what happens in Chicago, where the project kind of works within the community. It builds up in the middle, it kind of falls down when it comes down to the lake shore, and certainly is not developed with big 40-story buildings right off the lake. I mean, that just does not make development sense.
You go to any community around the world. Where does everyone want to flock to? Whether you live right on the water or not, everyone wants to be down there. You know, what it can do for the richness of a community, a city, a region, festivals, human scale development, even commercial opportunities that exist down there. But, you know, most of all, our oneness with nature, our connection with nature. And you just, like you keep saying this to me, Rick, and I think others have said this to you, you only have one chance to get it right. You're only going to be able to ruin that waterfront once. Or turn it into a jewel. The Lakeview power plant was clearly a mistake. Mississauga gets a redo. The big question is, will it do it right? Yeah. One of the most shocking things about your feature article in the Pointer, which ran last week, great piece, was when you talked about and when you illustrated with the maps the difference between the original plan that the late Councillor Jim Tovey supported and what was approved in principle by Mississauga Council with very human scale development. I don't think anything beyond 3, 4, maybe 5 stories along the lake to now the plan under the Argo Development Consortium, which has got these big, huge towers right on the waterfront. And when I looked at the map of like the original plan, but now what they're pushing now and they're going to be seeking approvals in the near future, I was shocked at the difference. One seemed like the type of waterfront development most of us would like to see. The other one, it's just going to be a wall of concrete, glass, and steel blue.
I all wonder what happened to the project and what Jim Tovey would think of it now. Looking back, must be very disappointed. And probably a good way to end it is saying, yeah, they had one chance. They have one chance to get it right, but they have one chance to get it very, very wrong. And if they do that, if they give up that jewel in the crown down by the lake, then the residents of Lakeview will again be losers in all this. And that's just not right. That's our politicians have to fight for those people to get it right. Talk about people power today. This is an emotional issue, something that we all want to talk about, and I really want you to get involved in your community. We have some great examples of development that has kind of run amok in both the city of Brampton and Mississauga over the years, and that people power can really change the dynamic. And Sam, I know that this has always been something, it's really the reason why we got into journalism.
I've always said, like, for people who kind of wonder why I'm always so focused on like the 905 in general, but Brampton and Mississauga, these are dynamic places all across the country, all across North America and around the world. These are the places where people are flocking to. You know, some might call them the suburbs, whatever. I refer to them as like our modern, growing, dynamic communities. And places like Brampton, Mississauga, a lot is happening. And it's the people, it's the citizens, the residents, the voters who will determine and dictate what happens. How will Brampton grow? How will Mississauga's waterfront emerge? You know, we look at, like, for example, what's happening in Hong Kong or a few years ago, the Arab Spring. And we often nowadays, today, you and I were talking about this over the weekend, just casually amongst ourselves. And I was saying that I give in to what's happening with leaders like Trump and Putin, despots and autocrats, dictators, Doug Ford to a certain extent right here in Ontario, big corporations running the world, the little guy getting stomped on. All of us feel, you know, smaller and smaller, sort of powerless with a lot of what we see happening around us. But, you know, you reminded me, Rick, when you said, no, man, you said it's always been about people power. The reaction to all this stuff is always that we push back. We're way stronger and more creative and way more intelligent than I think we give ourselves credit for. And that, when you reminded me about people power and it's going to win over again, I thought, yeah, let's talk about that.
You know, Abraham Lincoln said one time that without public support, these politicians have no power. It's all about the people. The people can bring their power. I was in Tunisia the year before the Arab Spring, and you could just feel it in the air. You could feel the resistance movement there. You could see the repression of the people, and you knew something was happening. It was an autocratic society in Tunisia at the time. But the people rose up and said, we're not taking this anymore. And of course, that's what's happening in, I think, communities like Mississauga and Brampton. The people, although the voter turnout is real lousy when it comes to local elections, I think it shows, and we've had good examples of that, even in Brampton, the last two mayor's elections, we saw that Susan Fennell's regime was toppled by the people. And we saw after that that Linda Jeffrey was thrown out of office. And Patrick Brown, who was not very popular, or he was eviscerated by the press. The Ontario PC party was not too happy, and they tried everything to make sure that he wasn't elected in Brampton. But the people rose up, only 35%, mind you, but they rose up and they said, no, we're going to elect Patrick Brown and we're going to elect Linda Jeffrey over Susan Fennell. So it just shows you what the people can do.
I remember when you said that to me, when we were talking about this, thinking about the 2014 municipal election in Brampton, and I'd been doing a lot of reporting on Susan Fennell and her regime, her administration, very problematic. And we revealed a lot of issues about the way contracts were being handed out, how she was running some of her private fundraising events, the treatment of staff, her expenses, traveling to far-flung places on the public's dime. It went on and on and on. And it made clear that she wasn't fit to lead. You know, she did not deserve to be the leader of a great city. And when we came upon election day in 2014, I remember thinking that morning, will the people respond? Will any of the work that the media might do, or public groups, advocacy groups, community groups, private citizens just working hard to help their community, all of these things that had happened, would it result in an actual outcome that, like you said, was all about people power? And when the results came in and Fennell got 12%, she'd received something like 75% of the vote a couple elections ago, really popular mayor, when no one was looking into her. But when everything started to get exposed, I remember fearing that a lot of people would just shrug it off and say, ah, I'm so ground down and I'm so apathetic, I just don't even care. But what happens? The result comes in. Wow, almost 90% of the city boots her out. And I thought, yeah, you know, it is alive and well. People power, like you say, Rick. And now with issues like Brampton's downtown development and dealing with the Etobicoke Creek situation and getting the floodplain restrictions lifted, one blessing in disguise is that had all of that been done under Peter Robertson or Susan Fennell, I've wondered, you know, oh my God, like development would have run amok. It would have been just the same, hand over, you know, the reins to the developers and they could do anything they wanted. And our downtown, even though it's aging now and it's showing signs that it needs improvement, it needs a plan, I'd rather see that plan come to shape by the people rather than developers doing something that, again, you know, they're going to get all wrong. So let's hope that in Brampton now, the people, the community, working with their community leaders, with their elected officials, with the mayor, with the councillors, with the province, get it right. Let's hope that Mississauga, with its waterfront, billions of dollars of potential development along kilometers and kilometers and kilometers of some of the most pristine urban waterfront in Mississauga. Let's hope that people power keeps the politicians in check. And then they keep the developers and the private interests in check.
Well, it's always good to get an anecdote, you know, peel it back down to the grassroots level, especially considering the Lakeview Project. Now, if you go back to, I think it was 2007, Jim Tovey lived on Mount Beck Avenue in South Mississauga. He used to walk his dog, Jake, every day, and they used to walk down by the lake. They lived very close to the lake, and they were close to the old Lakeview Power Plant, which was just brought down by the Liberal government. So Jim would walk down to the lake, and he'd look at the land that was totally abused. There were still remnants of the old power plant there. And he came back and he said to himself, he asked himself, why can't we change this? Why can't we make a project down here that is for the people and created by the people? And so the Lakeview Imagination Project came out of that. They developed their own plan. They won national awards for organizing this thing. And so from that, we had this people-developed project, which at one time, I think one of the residents' meetings in Lakeview drew 800 people. So Jim Tovey actually built up this ratepayers association. It just showed the power that they had. And this project that they developed themselves.
And council eventually approved it.
It was
principle.
Approved by council. It was on the strategic plan. It was on the Mississauga strategic plan. Now we have a problem with the developers who have kind of overtaken and taken over this project. So people power, and what has happened there, San, is that people are distressed by this, right? They did all this work. They had all these meetings for 10, 11 years, and now they see all their plans going by the wayside.
And this development consortium, this Argo group that's part of the larger Lakeview Village consortium, that is just so powerful. You know, I mentioned it in the earlier segment. We're talking about some of the biggest developers in the country that are used to like understanding and dealing with lobbying politicians, you know, donating hundreds of thousands of dollars to political parties, influencing municipal officials, bureaucrats. And this is what the people are up against. But I guess I'll leave it with this, that you know what? No fight is too big. Like you said, the Arab Spring, what's going on in Hong Kong right now? No fight is too big. If you've got people power, sounds kind of corny. You know, we keep saying it, but really, if you have the public and the ultimate big stick is, hey, Mr. Politician or Mrs. Politician, or I should say Miss Politician. Hey, politician, we carry the ultimate stick. We get to decide whether you win the next election or not. And I really think that people have to start looking at this. We've got the federal election coming up, and we need to start thinking about in Brampton and Mississauga, how are we going to use people power to make sure that our lives, our communities are going to benefit us, our children, and our children's children, not the private interests that are out there, not the developers, and all too often the politicians just looking to stay in power.
To the people, John Lennon and the Plastic Ono Band here on What's the Point. Also on the show this week, music from Aliota, Haynes, and Jeremiah, Lakeshore Drive, and A Fine Frenzy, Now is the Start. This week's show hosted by San Graywall and Rick Drenna. I'm Jeff Chalmers. Thank you for listening. See you next time.